Peter Hodson lives in Geelong in Victoria and enjoys robotics, the biosciences and working with lightweight metals. He's the Director of Research at Deakin University's Institute for Technological Research Innovation. And earlier this week, he was one of 15 scholars presented with an Australian Laureate Fellowship by Australia's Science Minister Kim Carr. Now, at the ceremony, he spoke about research in Australia, the way in which we value it and how we should promote it. Peter Hodson.
The Laureate Fellows themselves, I guess, are trying to attract back to Australia or people who have left, also trying to keep people here who could easily go overseas. And so I guess they're funding for sort of real international excellence. And it's very critical, really, to have that sort of almost a tall poppy thing, you know, to have fellowships or centres of excellence, etc., which recognise where we are very strong. In my case, for example, getting the Federation Fellowship before the Laureate Fellowship really led to quite a significant improvement in the quality of people that were actually applying to come and do PhDs with me or work with me. And so that's obviously very good for my own research, but also very good for that sort of field in Australia.
So there is a direct correlation, if you like, between the provision of grants for research and also the recognition that comes with those, the top-level grants, and the number of young scientists who are interested or who want to stay in the research field?
That's right, yes. And so these sort of, I guess, premier grants do attract, you know, quite a lot of attention. And I think we have some good funding for the people starting out in research. Where there's a real gap at the moment in Australia is in between period, when you're no longer what we call an early career researcher and you're going through the stages becoming maybe a professor. That area, it's very difficult to get funding to do your research. And so that's, to me, one of the issues in the current funding structure at the moment. We have the top end probably right. We're doing a bit down the new end. But for the people who have been in the game, say, for 10 to 20 years and are still moving up, it's becoming harder and harder to get the sort of funding you need to keep your research going.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think, obviously, the public understands health-related research very well. They understand certain bits of engineering, maybe. But the research in lots of other fields that needs to be done doesn't really get great public and hence government attention. If researchers think they're in the game to get a grant, if they think they're getting close to in terms of their CV and the work they've already done, they'll go that extra yard, they'll work really longer hours, trying to do more just to get themselves over the line. If they think it's very, very difficult to get a grant, then they tend to be a little bit disillusioned and turn off. And as I said before, with all the pressures of teaching and administration, etc., you can actually see that their research sort of starts to stagnate a little bit. And so I would like to see more funding, particularly in the ARC Discovery Scheme, to try and, I guess, get more people actively engaged in thinking about international quality research.
That's the Australian Research Council, the ARC.
That's right, yes, sorry, yes.
Another thing that came across in your speech this week was the idea of valuing what you call personal intuition and not just, as you say, linear thinking. Explain what you mean by that.
You know, I work with a lot of groups around the world, and you see the sort of leaders in a lot of these groups now that, if we go back, say, 20 or 30 years ago, when I guess the problems were simpler, they were more, you know, we want to solve this equation or we want to build this material. The problems are much more complex now, and they often require combinations of ideas. And what I'm seeing myself is that the research leaders are not necessarily sort of the narrow bookworm type people. They're people who actually think quite creatively and can take an idea from this field or this area and pull it into the area they're working in. Also, these sort of creative people then tend to work out how to get the best out of their team. They might say, well, this person's really good at doing this sort of research, this person can do that. And through this whole sort of team approach and their leadership, they can actually go ahead much more quickly. And I think Australia is very good at that. I think that our researchers here are very creative and very intuitive. And if you're going in a linear way, it'll take you a long time to get to the answer, whereas you can sort of do a jump here and a jump there, you can get there much quicker. But, I mean, also, the other thing to remember is that in a university, we're actually doing research training. So the PhD student and the postdoctoral fellows working with a professor are as much there to learn about the processes of research as to get an outcome. And again, I sort of worry sometimes that we get too driven on, you know, what's the tangible outcome as opposed to what processes are the people learning.
We often hear of the importance of research having what's called a real-world focus. And that's often read by the more cynical amongst us, I guess, as meaning it needs to be private sector focused. What's your view?
I think the real key is actually to be balanced. And I think that if I was to say anything about what we're doing in the group in Geelong, is that we've really taken a look at it and said, well, I mean, I've got a steel background, my colleagues got a textiles background, you know, very down-to-earth sort of here-and-now type materials. So you obviously need to be connected to industry to understand their issues so you're doing relevant research. But at the same time, both of us are looking at nanotechnology, as an example, and saying, well, what concepts or what tools can we take from nanotechnology and apply them to our materials? Because if we're not doing that sort of discovery research, then in 5 years' time, we'll have used up all the knowledge that we have because we've been applying it. We won't have that next generation of knowledge to apply. I mean, just to give an example, this, before I came here, I had a physicist, a mechanical engineer, myself, and a chemist, another metallurgist, and we're discussing solar energy and whether we, with our unique skill set of manufacturing and material science, etc., could do something in solar energy. Now, there's a lot more thinking to be done, but by having this group of people who get on really well together and sort of putting this difficult problem on the table, we actually started within about an hour to come up with some areas where we thought we could make a contribution. We're not going to build a silicon solar cell, but there are things that we do which could actually add to some of that sort of solar technology.
Now, we had West Australian Professor John Hullett on the program last week, and he talked about a continuing cultural cringe, as he said, in Australia when it comes to appreciating our technological achievements. Is that something that you can relate to?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's very difficult, really, to get the sort of level of industry funding that we do need to do. I mean, if you're in Europe, you get industry funding, but it'll be to do more blue sky research, whereas here, if we get industry funding, it's quite sort of, you know, here and now. If they want to get something really new, they'll probably look overseas rather than looking inside Australia. And even these laureate fellows, for example, there's been a lot of debate. You know, should we have such an elite level of professor, shall we say? You know, it's almost un-Australian. So there is this sort of, you know, trying to norm things back to being, well, you know, we're fairly good, etc. But, you know, I think that we do have to sort of, you know, push our excellence. And we sort of have to somehow or other, I don't know how, because I'm still struggling, convince industry, not so much government, because government actually does fund this sort of research, but to convince industry to take more risks in its research portfolio.
Professor Peter Hodson from the Institute for Technological Research Innovation at Deakin University.